Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I am a coach and a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm talking to Laura Hoggins, and she is sharing all about the power and the magic of weightlifting and why it's so amazing for us, particularly if we are struggling with anxiety and confidence. And she gets into telling us about how to overcome gym intimidation, because this is a real thing, guys. I've experienced it myself. That sense of, you know, walking into the gym, not knowing what to do, intimidating people everywhere. How do we overcome that and start to feel confident enough to go into the weights rooms and try something new? And we talk all about that. We also get into, you know, what are the mental and physical benefits of lifting weights? And some of these actually really surprised me. I wasn't expecting one or two of these, as a way of hopefully motivating you to want to give it a try. We talk about getting back into exercise after a break. You know, this was just a personal thing that I'd experienced recently. It can be so difficult if you haven't worked out in a while to then get going again. How do we overcome those barriers and struggles? And Laura tells us exactly how to do that. And we also get into weightlifting for anxiety and confidence specifically. And what is it about weightlifting particularly that can really change our perception of ourselves and our bodies and how we feel about ourselves and calm us down in a different way than other types of exercise? So I think you're going to love this episode. If you're looking to grow your confidence in 2020, I'm running a free challenge in the next couple of weeks, the Brave New You Confidence Challenge. Oh, the last time I ran it, I absolutely loved it. Seeing you guys helping each other, taking action, growing your confidence, noticing real shifts in how you're speaking to yourselves and how you're feeling about yourselves in the world. It was really, really moving to me, and I'm so excited to be able to offer this again. It's a free challenge. You can enter your details at karmayou.com/confidence, and you get all the details of when that's starting and how to get involved. So let's get into the interview with Laura Hoggins. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you. Please, could you share with us a little bit about the work that you do and the journey that you've been on to get to where you are today?
How long have you got? Wow, what a question. Where I am today is very different from where I ever thought I'd end up, actually. But I am today a PT. I'm an author of a book called Lift Yourself. I have a podcast, Biceps and Banter, and I do various other work, writing, etc. But mainly spend my time in the gym. And I guess I always wanted to be a coach, but I spent the first 10 years after university in corporate life. In fact, I wasn't in the gym at all. I was in an office. And I'm very fortunate that 10 years later in that career, I kind of had the balls to do what I always hoped I wanted to do, which was very scary at the time. So yeah, I guess I always felt like I was meant to be a coach. Maybe took me a little while to get there through various reasons, I guess a lot through self-confidence. But yeah, so as I am today, I'm very, very happy and have so much satisfaction in the career that I do. And I guess essentially my role is to show people that they can, very broadly and in all senses, not just in the gym, because for me, fitness and health and wellness, mentally and physically, it's not just about the weights that you lift, it's how you feel. And I think that for me is what saved me in life through going through difficult times as I was growing up. So I'm just very, very grateful to be able to share it with other people now.
And were you always into fitness? Was there a certain point where you kind of got into that passion?
Yeah, so I kind of went in waves. I started off, so I'm an only child, and as a young girl, I didn't want to do ballet. I didn't want to do dance. I didn't want to do anything, actually, that girls wanted to do. I wanted to do, playing football, basketball, hockey, rugby, judo. I did canoeing. I was in the chess club. My poor parents. But I always just loved sport and fitness, loved team sport. And as I grew up, I kind of became less okay as a young girl. It's like, what are you doing playing football, you know, coming into your teens? So I took a slightly different path and focused on my education. And then I've always just loved fitness, but it's been, as I've had quite a difficult relationship with myself and my body, there were times where I was quite overweight, had what I would describe as very low self-esteem, going through difficult relationships at the time. And it just took me a while to find myself. I went from really loving sport and not worrying about what I look like to loving sport and really worrying about what I look like. And maybe I made different decisions because of that. And my journey has meant that through finding sort of lifting and fitness in a community again, finding that team element, I managed to find myself again. And surprise, I didn't find happiness in a certain weight on the scales, which I think many women can relate to. You know, the scales can sometimes dictate our mood. And for a long time, I wanted to be a certain weight. Now I pretty much know what I am, but it doesn't affect me anymore.
That's so amazing. When was that change taking place, and how did you sort of change your mindset around that?
Yeah, I kind of just got a bit fed up with myself. I was going through, and I talk about it a lot in my book, I've been on every single diet that there is. You can imagine the scenes in the office. Everyone's going, right, come on, summer's coming. We're all going to go on a diet. And usually, you know, the word diet actually describes your eating habits, but a diet is within sort of diet culture that we have at the moment is normally associated with restriction. So we can only eat a certain amount. And I think from a relatively uneducated view, everyone thinks that eating less, weighing less is positive. And I think I just had to go through that and realise that at the end of my goal weight, I didn't find happiness. I remember many years ago, I came out of a very long relationship. And you know that kind of like revenge body style feeling? You're like, right, stuff it. I'm going to get into the greatest shape of my life. I'm going to feel good again. So I decided to run the London Marathon. I mean, how extreme? But I thought in my head, you know, if I've committed to this and I've told everyone in the office I'm going to do this, I'll have to do it. And by the end, I'll have to have done all the training. I'll definitely be thin by the end of it. And to me, thin equaled happiness. I got to running the marathon. I was very injured, but I got to my goal weight. And unfortunately, I didn't find the happiness that I hoped. And I kind of did that and I thought, God, that was a lot of effort for not a lot. And when I started to associate fitness with doing things that I enjoyed and it became less about what I looked like or how much I weighed, that was the difference, huge difference. And when I was working, for L'Oreal for many years, and I found this CrossFit box that opened down the road from my office, and a couple of my mates said, yeah, stop all this running, it's not really for you. I think you'd be really good at this CrossFit thing. So I turned up absolutely petrified. This is about 6 years ago now. And there was this incredibly athletic, wonderful, loud woman screaming at me, going, okay, we're going to do this workout now, blah, blah, blah. And it was like 100 box jumps where I couldn't do one box jump. I was absolutely petrified. So it was a very humbling experience for me. But for some reason, I loved it and I wanted to go back and I wanted to do better. I wanted to do one box jump and it was two. And it started to give me goals that had nothing to do with how much I weighed or what I looked like. And that change in my head was the game changer. And yeah, weirdly enough, my body composition changed because I was looking after myself better. I stopped smoking, didn't drink as much because I wanted to be alive to, you know, to go and go to training the next day. And I had a team around me. I had people that wanted me to do well. So yeah, that was it. And then I was like, okay, right, I'm back in that headspace where I feel like there's a coach inside of me, that what I've learned and how I've changed my self-esteem and my self-confidence that isn't associated with how much I weigh or what I look like, I need to share this with as many people as possible. And that's my life's purpose now.
That's so amazing. So good to hear. Yeah, the journey that you've been on and how you're now helping other people to discover that actually lifting weights maybe isn't as scary as they thought.
Yeah.
Why do you think people are reluctant? Because there is still this sense of reluctance that a lot of people have, or fear around gyms or CrossFit, yeah, or anything like that. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, totally. Gym intimidation I talk about a lot, and it really is a thing, because of course, if you're in that position where you maybe don't know what you're doing yet, you assume that someone's going to judge you. You know, what if I can't lift it? What if I can't do it? What if I make a fool out of myself? It's almost not worth the stress, you know, to start. But I would say everyone starts somewhere. And I was that person once who made the bold decision to just turn up. No, I wasn't amazing at it. But I went and I did it. I did my best, and I decided to come back and be better the next day. And I just think that if we allowed these feelings or this feeling of intimidation to stop us from making that first step, we'll never do it. So for me, I would say, do your research. Maybe find someone that you can, that can sort of teach you the basics to start, so you're not going in completely cold. Find a group class so you don't feel like you're on your own. Rope in a friend. You know, it could be a fun Saturday activity to go to your first circuits class. And you don't have to go to CrossFit, you know. That was what was for me, but it's not for everyone. So find that thing that is for you, and you'll know once you get it. I actually started off doing body pump at my local gym, and yes, it's sort of like a different type of weightlifting, but it just sort of gave me that start so that I kind of knew a bit about, you know, how to squat properly, you know, what's a deadlift, and all these words that can feel really intimidating. But trust me, when the instructor wants the best for you, and they're doing their job, because maybe once they were, you know, the first person in the gym, so they want to help you. People are more supportive than you think, and I promise when you leave, you will feel amazing.
So gym intimidation is a real thing,
yeah,
definitely. But finding a class, finding a friend to go with you,
yeah,
make it a bit easier,
yeah,
try different things, find out what's for you.
Yeah, start at home maybe, you know, in front of your TV. Maybe while, you know, once you come home from work, you could do things with just your body weight. This is the thing. I think people look at CrossFit and they look at people at their end, you know, they're quite far down their journey. They think, well, I can't lift 100 kilo deadlift. But whoever can do that didn't start there. They started, you know, mastering the foundational movements with your squat, you know, get some press up practice at home, and, you know, start to feel a bit more confident in the movements before maybe you venture out.
And I can really relate to feeling intimidated by the gym. I remember when I first started dabbling with weightlifting, going into there was kind of a women's kind of weightlifting,
yeah,
room, and then like the men's,
yeah,
weightlifting,
yeah,
room. And I would go into the men's one because the women's one didn't have very heavy weights. And just there were guys who looked really intimidating,
yeah,
like wearing kind of string vests and things.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I kind of made an assumption that they were going to be like unfriendly or intimidating,
yeah,
but actually everyone was really lovely.
Yeah.
Just getting over that initial fear.
Yeah.
Like, it was a bit difficult at first, but actually I soon started to feel much more at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So sometimes it's just like going for it, I think.
Yeah, and also I think going to the gym with a plan. Don't just go and just think, I'll see what happens, or I'll see what machines are free. Like, find a plan, find, you know, a trainer that you can trust, or, you know, programs from, you know, I do a lot on my Instagram of little workouts that maybe you could follow. Go with a plan so that in your head, I'm going to do this. So you don't get there and you get intimidated and you get sidelined to the cross trainer again, because you absolutely deserve the space in the gym. And, you know, you should feel confident that you can do it. And, you know, sometimes the gym bros might be friendly, like your experience.
Yes, definitely. What about this myth? Or is it a myth even, about getting really muscly,
yeah,
like after one session of the,
yeah,
gym? I think there's fear for some people that,
yeah, of course,
will suddenly be like I don't know, so bulky that none of our clothes will fit, for example.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying for many years now, and this is as far as I've got. So if anyone does find out how to get bench in one workout, please do let me know. Unfortunately, for females especially, it is actually very difficult to bulk up or to gain muscle for a number of physiological reasons. But weight training doesn't necessarily mean, you know, muscle gain. The theory of gaining mass depends on your lifestyle, depends on your genetics, and also depends on your nutrition. So if you are aware of how energy balance works, if you are looking for a fat loss goal, for example, you would want to be in something you've possibly heard, which is a calorie deficit, which is consuming less calories or energy than you give out in a day. And if you are in a calorie deficit, it is very challenging for your body to build muscle. You could also be in a maintenance, which is sort of calories in and the same as calories out. And again, you know, that could also be challenging to build muscle. If you really are trying to gain, you would want to look to be in a calorie surplus, which the majority of us, it's not our, potentially not our goal. So I think it's having an awareness of your nutrition, supporting your training with good quality food, good nutrients, macros and micronutrients, high protein. But really, it does take a long time to gain, and strength doesn't always equal mass. You know, you could be gaining strength, you could be performing better in the gym, lifting heavier, and you don't necessarily mean that you're going to get bigger. So I would say consult a professional that can help you with your nutrition for the goals that you have. And everyone's different, and it's actually really hard. So to put an end to the myth, Chloe, you are not going to get turn into the Hulk after a few sessions. But yeah, if anyone does know how to do that, let me know. I'd love that.
Love it. I wanted to just ask for some personal advice. Use this opportunity. So I've been away for a few weeks and I haven't been working out for maybe like 5 weeks or so. It can be this thing, I think, probably for lots of people listening, if you haven't worked out in a while, how to get back into it after a break when it feels like it's going to be the hardest thing in the world. Do you have any advice for me?
Yeah, totally. So just do it is the first one. Honestly, you just, there will never be a good time. If, you know, it doesn't really matter how long you've been away, because it doesn't matter where you start from. You just identify where you are now, and that's okay. A lot of the things I talk about is you're training for life, and Usain Bolt doesn't sprint every day. So having time off is not a big deal. I can very much relate personally in that I've taken about 2 months off, and 2 months off for me is just not following a program. I went from huge weight training to compete in two strong women, novice strongman competitions last year. And then I decided to run the marathon, which, by the way, is the opposite training. And I was just fed up of following a program. And I'd done my races, and I was like, do you know what? I just need a bit of time off, and I'm going to move. I'm going to go for long walks. And yeah, I guess I've been off, but I haven't really, because you're training for life. So try not to think about it as being on or off the wagon. Just think, okay, life's taken over for a little bit. I've still been active, but now I really feel like I want to get back in the gym, and focus on that as being a positive. So find that thing that you really enjoy first. Just make a start, and then find out where you are, and slowly grow back into, you know, whatever your goals are. I'm sat today. I've just started an 8-week plan. So it's going to be from now until the end of Christmas. And I've sort of invited a lot of my Instagram followers along with me, because it can be really hard. I think people think, especially me as a trainer, I'm in the gym all the time, it's all right for you. I can very much relate to what happens during your day that might mean by the time you get to the end of the day, the last thing you want to do is go to the gym. So I would just say, set yourself some realistic goals if you're looking to get back into that training, and just say, this week I'm going to go once or twice. If you do more, great. Next week, just try again. It's just getting started, and trying to lower your expectations, I'd say. I think we think a lot of ourselves, and 5 weeks in the grand scheme of life is nothing. So don't worry.
Good. Okay. I feel inspired and also reassured. That's amazing. What about the benefits of lifting then? What are some of the benefits, both physical and mental?
Yes, I'll start with the physical. So physically, you know, improving your body composition and having more muscle mass will improve your posture, your bone health, you know, especially as we're coming into sort of late 30s, late 40s, whatever, you know, you are at risk of losing muscle, which is called sarcopenia. So if we have as much muscle mass as we can now, that will help us later on in life. Being strong is really cool. It means that you can take all the shopping in from the car in one go. You know, functional strength is, it doesn't have to mean that you have to lift hundreds of kilos. It can help with your muscle mass in terms of what I hear a lot of people say is they want to tone up. Toning up isn't really a thing. Toner is what you put in a printer. So I prefer to call it muscle definition. So when people say to me, I want to lose weight and tone up, actually, in order to do that toning or have some definition, you need to do some resistance training to actually have some muscle. And then you can work with your nutrition and any sort of cardio work to sort of get that fat loss goal that will improve your body composition. And then you will start to see that definition. So there's so many physical benefits to it, and I guess the mental side for me is just so important, because when you're weightlifting, it's almost like, you know, you have to focus so much on the technique. You're taking each rep at a time. You're focusing on your breathing. For me, I describe it as like therapy. It's like this bizarre mindfulness where at that moment in time, nothing else matters. You are just focusing on that one rep, and it is so amazing to be able to lift something that maybe once you didn't think that you could. And being able to go in there, you know, press some weights, whatever it is that you're doing with the, you know, the gym bros that are actually very friendly. And, you know, leaving, especially as a woman, you know, it feels incredible to be physically strong. And I think for me, developing my strength, yes, there's lots of physical benefits to it. But the mental side for me is just that small investment in myself every day, or, you know, four or five times a week, whatever it is, that just it just feels incredible.
I love that idea that it's about mindfulness, and actually you do really need to be present.
Absolutely.
When you're weightlifting. And I find for me cardio maybe a bit stressful versus, yeah, weightlifting, which is quite controlled and
Absolutely.
slow. It can be quite calm.
Yeah.
So for me, just for my own sort of mental health, I like it for that.
Yeah.
And I've just noticed if I exercise a few days a week, in the morning particularly, I'm just a happier person.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, a better person in general.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, the weightlifting is that way of being mindful and coming back to my body and slowing down. And it doesn't all have to be slow, as it depends on the class that you're doing, but yeah, that's what I really like about it.
Yeah,
because I know in your book you talk about, you know, some surprising physical benefits of lifting, like even reducing your risk of dying of cancer by 31%, which I was really surprised about.
Yeah, there's many studies that are coming out at the moment about sort of the bigger benefits of it, and yes, all the physical things, but then as we've talked about, also the mental health side of it, that actually, you know, having a stronger body can help you in life. You could live a longer life and a happier life. And, you know, as I said, everyone's version of what resistance training or weightlifting looks like for them can be completely different. I just happened to fall in love with, you know, at the start CrossFit and later now into strongman training, pulling buses and all of that stuff. And that doesn't have to be for everyone, but you can just take whatever path that you want. And like, even my mother had breast cancer, and throughout the treatment, she lost a lot of weight and she lost a lot of muscle mass. And now post treatment, and thank God she is now free of cancer, but she is now doing her own version of weightlifting. You know, she's realizing that actually she doesn't, you know, she wants to have a good posture, she wants to be able to, you know, lift things in and around the house, you know, the gardening, etc. So it just, at any age, it is a very positive thing to be strong.
And in terms of confidence then, and kind of self-esteem, and you mentioned how it really helped you with that, what is it about weightlifting that that gives us that, do you think?
Yeah, I think, and I'll be very open with it, I very much associated my self-confidence or my self-worth with how much I weighed.
Mm.
Because I used to be all sorts of weights, actually. I've been up and down and throughout my sort of teens and in my 20s, and lots of sort of life circumstances that have pushed me one way or the other. And I genuinely just felt like if I was thin, I would be more, you know, socially acceptable. And I think for me now, I associate physical success with my performance in the gym. So it's sort of athletics over aesthetics for me, in that I'm the happiest and probably the most body confident I've ever been. But I'm nowhere near the goal weight that I wanted to be. And I think it's just because I feel physically capable. You know, I'm on the tube or whatever and someone's struggling with their suitcase, I'm there, I'll help you. Like, I just feel it's such a positive for me. Like, even on the way here, I actually went to Topshop, and the shopkeeper said, oh, do you go to the gym? I think she said, sort of, she noticed me physically, do you go to the gym? And I was able to give her a little circuit that she's going to do in the shop today. Like, it's just, she was like, wow, that's amazing. And it was just so good, because
that's so cool.
In all of our jobs, sometimes we feel like if we're sat at a desk all day, you know, it's like we're slumped down, our posture's not very good, or, you know, whatever we're at, actually investing that time, or just, you know, focusing on just becoming a little bit stronger or doing whatever, can just be such a positive thing for your headspace. And you feel like I've done something successful that day.
So athletics over aesthetics.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sounds like that's focusing on what your body can do rather than what it looks like.
Yeah.
And that's just a good reminder for all of us to, yeah, you know, whether it's in the gym or whether it's how amazing our bodies are, just for being able to breathe and
totally
digest food and, you know,
get through
walk
the day
to the shops.
At work.
Exactly.
Life's stressful enough as it is, and I just think that if we can, like you were saying, like especially with weightlifting, if we talk about different training intensities, weightlifting can be at a slow tempo. It's lower intensity, so it's less sort of high heart rate. You know, you talk about HIIT and cardio training, and you don't have to smash yourself into a heap on the floor for it to be a good session. I think it's important that we recognize how's our CNS. So I think, you know, if you're doing HIIT every single day, you might constantly be in a sympathetic state where you're in that fight or flight. And if you've got a stressful job, then add that training on. It's a lot to recover from. So for me, weightlifting can provide that kind of slightly different intensity that, you know, definitely helps me relax weirdly.
That's an interesting point, actually, about, you know, those really high intensity things like HIIT training, because I hear from two camps of people. So some people, they have anxiety and they do the HIIT training and they say it really calms me down.
Yeah.
But then is there an argument that actually you're stressing your body more and you should do something a bit more calm, do you think?
Totally. I think we all know how amazing that endorphin rush is once you've done a big HIIT class and you're sort of in a, you know, sweaty mess on the floor and everyone's high-fiving and well done, guys, or, you know, you've completed a session. It feels pretty amazing. But then your heart rate has to recover from that. And obviously it's very taxing. So just try and focus on whatever it is that you're putting your body through in a physical and mental stress situation. Make sure you've got enough time for recovery. So you're managing the intensities of your life over a period of a week. So HIIT training, as you know, as a fitness professional, it's very good. It's very effective depending on what your goals are. But don't do it every day. You know, make sure that you're, you know, can you get in a yoga session, something that's a bit more mindful, it's still movement, it's working on your mobility, it still counts as a session. You know, you don't have to be going 100 miles an hour all the time, because potentially, depending on your recovery, there'll become a point where it's harder to recover from, and that's when burnout occurs, and then you lose that thing that you rely on so much to make yourself feel good. It actually has a detrimental effect. So, yeah, use it sparingly.
Yeah, good advice. Do you have favourite exercises or things that you love to do or that you recommend people do a lot? Are there some favourites that you have?
So, well, favourites that I have. So I'm a trainer at a gym called The Foundry in London, and we are basically our core training concept is around modified strongman training. So, you know, like the strongman that you see like on the TV, like when they pull the buses and at the stones and the farmers carries. And we have a class or we teach this sort of method of training, and it's super functional. And what I mean by functional is the movements that you're doing are mirroring the strength that you need in your everyday life. So a farmer's carry, for example, is like holding two big bags of shopping. So you would pick up something really heavy and you would walk with it. It's very challenging to your core, your upper body, works the heart rate, but it's kind of it's functional in that you'll be doing that in your daily life. Squatting, deadlifting, upper body push and pull, these are all big compound movements that work multiple muscle groups. So it's kind of big bang for your buck in terms of efficiency. And also they're very good at, you can kind of track your performance on them. So, you know, the weights on the bar, if you're doing a deadlift, you know, maybe over time you could start to increase the weights that you do. So do you deadlift?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so ideally, we would, with weightlifting, if we want to improve our strength, we want to apply a principle called progressive overload. And what that means is over time, you're slowly increasing the intensity. So that could be over time, maybe you'll be able to lift heavier. Have you experienced that?
I have, although I'm not doing that at the moment, which I need to get back on.
But that's okay. So, but that's yeah. Okay. So you basically, over a period of time that you're working on, you say, okay, if I can do 10 reps of this weight, maybe next week, could I do 12 reps of it? Or could I, you know, go a little bit slower or more controlled, or, you know, have less rest or something? So there's many different ways in which you can increase the intensity to improve your strength or your ability to control the weight. And that is what we call progressive overload. And you can apply these to the big compound lifts, which are my favorite. So your deadlift, your squat, an upper body press, or, you know, push-ups. And then I just personally, modified strongman training is sort of where it is sort of my happy place. So it's the big Atlas stones and pushing the prowlers and pulling. It just feels incredible. And at the gym that I work at, it probably looks, going back to the gym intimidation, it probably looks absolutely petrifying, and we're very aware of that. But we have people who have never been to the gym come to us, and I promise you, they leave feeling amazing. It's just one of those things where you look at it and you think, nah, there's no way I can do that. And then actually people realize that they can, and it's just incredibly empowering. So yeah, group fitness for me is very important, because doing things on your own is cool, but having a little team or having a buddy to train with, that can be really fun.
And so much of that is missing from our lives, that kind of community.
Absolutely,
and fitness,
yeah.
You know, gives people that community maybe they haven't had before.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Just going back, what is a prowler?
Oh, yeah. So this is the thing. I always talk about these things and I sort of look at people and go, do you know what that means? A prowler is essentially something that you hold onto two handles and you're going to push it along a track. So it's essentially, it's working. A lot of people say, oh, you know, what muscles does it work? All of them. So, you know, sprinters use it. So you're pushing, you're sprinting against resistance. So you can push it, you can pull it, you can put hundreds of kilos on it, whatever you want. So it can be used in many different ways for athletic development or just a load of fun.
I'm just having a memory of, yes, I have used a prowler before.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, it was exhilarating.
Yeah, it's tough because it turns anaerobic very quickly. So you get that lactic buildup in your legs because it's hugely taxing. So yeah, after about 20 steps, I start to grind to a bit of a halt. But yeah, it is brilliant.
And there is that feeling of achievement of actually, yeah, I lifted that. I did that,
yeah.
You know, at the end. And it gives us this, you know, we think, if I can do that, you know, what else can I do?
Yeah.
If I can lift that, what else am I capable of doing?
Yeah.
What else can I, what other challenges can I take on in my life? And I think so many of us need that when we're doubting ourselves and we don't have that confidence.
Yeah.
It's just a physical way of giving ourselves more confidence.
Totally. I think we are very risk averse in life, or, you know, let's talk about in a work, you know, work perspective, you know, not going for the promotion or not, you know, giving your point of view in a meeting or whatever it is. And for me, weightlifting just gives you that self-confidence that actually I can be heard, or I can ask for it, or I can go for something that I'm perhaps worried about, you know, not getting. And I think what weightlifting has taught me most is that failure is okay. I fail daily. And I post about it on my Instagram a lot. There's another thing called the log, the strongman log. It's a very awkward thing that you pick up from the floor, you clean it to your shoulders and you press it above your head. And I love posting videos of me just absolutely failing it because it's part of the journey. I think everyone thinks that, everyone is just a linear process. You know, you turn up to the gym, you get stronger. You know, like you just said, you've been off for 5 weeks, so perhaps what you'll experience or the weights you're able to do might be a little bit different. That's okay, that's part of your journey, right? In that we have to fail a little bit, and if we fail, don't worry, just celebrate that you tried, because it's all effort, it's all work. So for me, it's don't be afraid of failure, it's a part of it, laugh it off, share it, you know, it's great, everyone does it. And also the other thing for me is to not compare. You know, you and I are very different. Everyone is so unique genetically, or, you know, everyone's lifestyle is different. So for you to compare yourself to me or vice versa is pretty useless. So I would say use things like social media or, you know, people that you're inspired by as that purely inspiration, and be positive about it. But try not to look at it and go, wow, that person's lifting X amount. They're not you. It's completely different. Just embrace your own journey and know that every session isn't going to feel good. Most of mine aren't, but it's all part of the journey. And one day I'll look back and go, oh, wow, I used to do that and now I'm doing this. But, you know, it takes time, and the best things take time. You're not going to get abs in 7 days, nor do we really want to. So just focus on training for life, feeling good, doing things that you enjoy. And for me, that's kind of what saved me.
I love that you've spoken about comparison piece, because I imagine there are a lot of people who maybe do go down that path when they start getting into fitness of maybe like taking it too far, or it can become like almost like an addiction or an obsession, or you start comparing yourself to different people and thinking, I've got to work harder. Is there kind of a dark, almost like a dark side to this, and can it go too far, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is, I mean, it's a actually is a thing, orthorexia, in that people get addicted to exercise and training. And I see it sometimes in my role and within my scope of practice. I will, you know, try to have positive conversations with people to try and encourage them to seek professional help if they need it. But on the whole, I would say, and I guess I've experienced this as well, in that when exercise becomes your therapy, you then rely on it. And there are lots of reasons why you then can't exercise, like you may have an injury, you may have a cold. Like at the moment, we're in winter, right? So everyone's got a cold and everyone still feels like they need to turn up and smash the session because, you know, they plan to. Or you know, they need a rest day, and people just, they think that they can't. And actually, it is okay to have a day off. And we need to look at our total week and say, actually, I was very stressed here, or I stayed at work late, or didn't sleep very well. It is going to have a knock-on effect. You know, if you had 4 or 5 hours sleep, generally, it will impact you the next day. It might impact your aerobic capacity, so you won't be able to train as hard. So I would just say, use it for its positives, but try to be aware of when you're maybe doing too much. And I know it's a bit of a cheesy thing to say, but listen to your body. And I find it hard to do it, but you have to do it, in to say, do you know what? Today's not the day, and I'll try again tomorrow. So, yeah, try not to get into that place where you rely on it. It's, you know, a gift to be able to move and exercise and train. So, yeah, don't take it too much for granted, I would say.
Totally. Thank you. I guess a bit of a sort of personal question about you is, is there anything that you're struggling with at the moment, and how are you managing that or overcoming that?
Yeah, totally. So I try to be as transparent and as honest as I can from a sort of social media perspective, but it's really hard because, you know, no one really wants to see me in my pants doing my programming, you know, at 11 p.m. at night. So I would say, you know, Instagram is a bit of a highlight reel, and there is challenges behind what I do. And I think people think, you know, it's all right for you, you're always in the gym, you're always training and whatever. I'm not. I'm training other people, and I'm doing lots of work, you know, my Instagram doesn't just sort of make itself. You know, I have to spend a lot of time, you know, creating content, reply. You know, it's really important to me that I respond to as many messages as possible. I have a full-time job. I manage the brand and PR and marketing for the gym that I'm at. So I have a very busy life. And as much as I'm talking about fitness, I'll be very honest in that I find it hard to invest the time to do my own training. Because if I'm up at whatever o'clock and I'm coaching at 6 a.m, you know, when I finish at 10, do I feel up to training? No, probably feel pretty knackered. I find it so hard to get the right amount of sleep for me. So I think earlier I sort of alluded to it. I'm for the next 8 weeks, sort of to the end of the year, I've set myself some really tough goals, because the only person that is accountable is me. And it's just one of those things where, as I am quite an empath as an individual, I want to be doing everything. I want to be helping everyone. Mm-hmm. And I have to remember that I have to help myself first. So I find that quite difficult to do, because I want to be doing everything, but it's actually at the detriment. So that is what I find challenging, is focusing on my own goals. I have some incredibly fit and strong clients. So I just, actually not too long ago, I said to myself, wow, if only I treated myself as well as I do my clients, I'd be in incredible shape. So I'm not doing badly, but I just need to prioritize my sleep and my nutrition at the foundations, and anything above that I'll be grateful for.
Yeah, it's so easy, isn't it, just for the busyness of life to take over. And yeah, even if something is really important to us,
yeah,
you know, still it can be hard to find the time. So I'm sure, yeah, there's loads of people listening that are just nodding their heads, yeah, and relating to that struggle.
Yeah,
absolutely. Are there any other things that you do to stay calm, or any other kind of routines or self-care things that you do for yourself?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a silly one really, but because I'm working, or I'm in such high energy all day in the gym, and I work till relatively late in the week, I don't get home till about 9:30, and if I've got to be up early the next morning, I need some time to decompress from the day. Because I'm like, you know, my job is to be Mrs. Motivator, and then I finish and it's like, it's a lot. So I record every day Loose Women, and I go home and I watch it on my Sky Planner, and I just watch Loose Women for an hour, and I sit and I just focus on my breathing. And I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it's just like my hour of the day where I'm not coach, no one's messaging me or asking me questions. And it's just very nice and easy conversation. So that's what I do. I'm obsessed with Loose Women. I'm obsessed with Janet Street Porter, because she just hates everyone. So that's brilliant. and I also, and I need to get better at this, I know, but about 4 years ago, I learned how to meditate. So I worked with a meditation coach for near on a year, actually. I was absolutely rubbish at it when I started. I found it really hard to learn to sit with myself and my thoughts, because I'm such a go, you know, this is a waste of time person in my head.
Sure.
So I try in the mornings to sit down. I set an alarm for 10 minutes. And I close my eyes and I meditate. And that's been quite a big journey for me, actually, to sort of being able to sit with myself and not see it as a waste of time. One of the first things that I was told when I was learning to meditate is, if you don't have time to meditate, you need to meditate more. Because I find I'm just living life at 100 miles an hour. And it's so important for me at the start of the day, whenever that is, whatever it's 5 a.m., just to sit and just to think, what do I want to achieve out of today? And just maybe just think about the day as it goes, so that I'm starting in a good place. Because inevitably, you know, my train will be delayed. I'll throw my coffee on my shoe. I'll have left my headphones at home. Like, there's so many different things that happen throughout the day that just are annoying and can stress you out. So if I can just try and start the day. So Loose Women and meditation, that's my advice.
I love that. We've all got to decompress somehow.
Exactly.
I like the way that you start the day and end the day with something that's just for you, to just, yeah, kind of get the day going and then really unwind, yeah, and settle down. I think, yeah, that's really brilliant. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared. I feel very inspired. I'm going to just think about when I can get down to the gym.
Yeah, that's my next thing. When are you coming to train with me?
I know, I need to. I'm desperate to now. where can people find out more about you and your book and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I am at Laura Biceps. I share lots of different training videos and stuff, so feel free. If you've got any questions for me, please do slide into my DMs. I have recently published my first book, Lift Yourself, which is, I guess, a bit more of a story of my journey into weightlifting and some very practical advice for you if you're starting out. Yeah, so Lift Yourself is available on Amazon. And then also I have my podcast, which is Biceps and Banter, which is me interviewing, you know, some incredible people, actually. And we talk about lots of things from entrepreneurship to body confidence, body positivity, and just, you know, what does it take to start your journey in strength training. So yeah, please come and find me there. And I'm also in the gym. You can come and train with me at the Foundry in London, and we are found on at Foundry Fit. So yeah, all over the place, really. Most gyms you can find me in.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for listening. I really hope that you gained a lot from this episode. Come on over to Instagram and let me know, what are you taking from this episode? Find me at Chloe Brotheridge. And I would love it if you would leave me a review in the podcast app or in iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, leave me a rating. And is there someone in your life that would really benefit from this podcast? You can let them know by sharing this podcast. I'd be so, so grateful. So I'm just wishing you a wonderful week ahead, sending you loads of love. Hopefully you'll tune in again, and I'll see you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.